Morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to see y'all here this morning. Glad y'all made it through mini snowmageddon, I guess, or mini ice picks. I don't know what we're calling weather phenomena these days, but glad you're here. Good to have all the family together. I mean, one of the excuses or one of the benefits, I guess, of postponing one service and having just one service is that we get to all be together. So if you've been with us for a while, take a look around. There are people who come to the service you don't usually come to, who are new or who are familiar. Make sure you get around and say hi to them. For those of you for whom this is your first time with us, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'd love to say hi to you at the end of the service. I'll be just outside the exit doors. I will be looking like a rotisserie chicken going around the heater that we have out there just to make sure I stay warm. So, but stop by, weird as that looks, and say hi to me. I'd love to hear your name a little bit more about what your experience was like this morning and how you ended up in Chatham County. So come join us for that. And before I dive into the sermon, I wanted to share a little bit more about one of the things that was on one of the announcement slides, but we didn't mention. It's happening during our Baptism Sunday, and we're calling it Affirmation of Faith. Here's one of the dynamics that we have here at Chatham Community Church. We have a number of people who've already been baptized, but they either walked away from faith or drifted away from faith or got baptized when they were very young and faith was just not an ongoing part of their lives. And part of them being at Chatham Community Church has been a re-engagement with faith or an engagement with faith for the first time, and they want a way to mark that. You've told us that over the years. And you've told us that baptism isn't the thing for you. You've already been baptized. You don't want to be baptized again, but you want something to mark that stage of your faith journey. And so we're offering that. We are offering affirmation of faith. What we'll do on that Sunday is right after baptisms, we will gather people for whom being part of this community is part of sort of a new stage in their faith journey, an embracing of faith for the long run as adults, and they want to share that publicly, and they want to be blessed by the community for that. So if you've had a spiritual awakening as part of your coming here at Chatham Community Church, if you've re-engaged or engaged with Christianity for the first time as an adult and want to celebrate what God is doing in your life, we want you to be part of this. If you need more information on what that's like or what it's going to be, or if you're like, I'm interested, let's do it, email at rsvp@chathamchurch.org. Email us there. Or come talk to me after the service. Be glad to share a little bit more. Glad to sign you up for that. And we'll celebrate what God is doing in our midst, both through baptisms and through people affirming their faith on January 26th. So come join us for that. Over the years, I've seen one or more versions of this picture floating around the internet. It's the pictures, if it's a bit small for you, show four generations of what we assume are family. On one side, it's male members of family. On the other side, it's female members of the family. And it shows the way, sort of the predominant message from one generation to the other. The images tend to be used in articles or posts that are talking about generational cycles of unhealth or trauma, and they encourage people to not pass on the unhealthy messages that have been passed on to them, to sort of break the cycle and create a new cycle for your families. It's always struck me to view these images, because part of what I wonder when I look at these images is what must the home life have been like in those spaces, in spaces that were dominated by words like, you're not good enough, or you're useless, or you're worthless, or you're stupid. Some of us don't need to wonder what those environments are like. We live them. Maybe it wasn't the only dominant message, but it was a consistent message that we received or heard as we were growing up. Some of us didn't hear it in our household. Some of us heard it in our schools. Some of us didn't hear it in our schools. We heard it from our friends. Some of us didn't hear it from our friends. We've heard it in our workplaces. You're just not good enough. You're worthless. It weighs on you when you're in environments that have these messages in them, doesn't it? Now imagine what it must feel like if the same space was marked by words like, I love you, you're valuable, I see you, you're important, you can do this, you're amazing, or words like that. It's different, isn't it? Again, some of us don't have to imagine it. We've been in those spaces. In fact, some of us are the last ones on that line or close to. We've been the ones who've broken those patterns, either in our homes or in our workplaces or in our schools or among our friends. We've taken a stand at times and said, this is not going to be the dominant message of our group. We're going to have a different dominant message. And it creates a different environment. It reminds us that words have power. They can affect how the environment feels around us. They can affect how the environment feels in our home, in our businesses, in our workplaces, in our schools, among our friends, in our relationships. The words we speak to and the words we speak about each other can shape the atmosphere. They can shape the atmosphere. Think of the ways that people talk to and about each other in the places that you are in right now, in the relationships that you find yourself in the situations, in your workplace, in your school. Think of the dominant themes, the dominant ways people refer to each other, or the dominant ways people talk about one another, or the dominant ways people talk about whatever situation happens to be going on. Notice the connection of those words and those themes to how it feels. Some spaces feel great. They feel welcoming. They feel safe. They feel like places where we can grow, but other places don't feel like that. They feel funky. They feel off. They feel like places where we can't fully settle in or can't fully be at home. Words have the power to shape how the atmosphere feels. To start 2025, we are talking about how we can change the atmosphere in situations, in places, and in relationships for good. Because sometimes things feel off, and they don't need to feel off. They don't have to feel off forever. There may be reasons why they feel off, but they don't have to stay that way, regardless of the reasons. One of the reasons things can feel off is because of the words that have been spoken, the things that have been said, the ways people talk to and about each other. In the Bible's account of the origins of our world, words have power. God speaks things into being. That's how powerful words are, the account of the origins of this world. It highlights the power that words have. And one of the things we believe is that our world or our reality isn't limited to what we can see, taste, feel, or perceive with our senses. We believe there is a spiritual component to our reality, and that that reality affects how things feel in the natural world. And God has made resources available to us, spiritual resources that we can access. And when we access them, we can change how things feel in the natural world, in the world that we can perceive, in the atmosphere of our relationships, the places we're in, and the situations we find ourselves in. Even in places that have been dominated by themes created by harmful words, negative words, challenging words, words that have put down. One of the ways we've talked about accessing those resources throughout this year, last week, and this is through prayer. Prayer is a resource God has made available to us to access the spiritual resources he has placed at our disposal to change the atmosphere. And so for this whole month, we are looking at different prayers, different ways to pray, so that we know what the resources we have available to us are, so that when we find ourselves in situations, in places, and in relationships that feel off, that feel funky, that don't feel right, we know that we have a way to engage to change the atmosphere for the better. Today we're going to talk about one of those types of prayers. We're going to talk about prayers of blessing. What blessing is, prayers of blessing are prayers that convey a good desire for a relationship, for a person, for a situation, for a place. Another way of saying that is that blessing is speaking out the goodwill and the good desires of God for our world and its people into something or over something, into someone or over someone, into some place or over some place, into a situation or over a situation. It's speaking out what God longs to be true in places, in situations, in relationships, in whatever. Blessing is all about speaking good. Speaking to and about people, places, and situations. Friends, today the invitation is going to be, I'm going to tell you right from up front, the invitation is going to be to go out from this place praying prayers of blessing. We pray prayers of blessing because the words that we speak to and about each other, to and about situations, to and about places, to and about anything can shape the atmosphere. And if we have to live in the atmospheres that we find ourselves in, we might as well be empowered and enabled to do something to affect them for good. Praying blessing can affect them for good. The passage Robert read for us comes from the book of Numbers. It comes from the Old Testament. One of the first five books of the Bible is the book of Numbers. And then if you sort of think chronologically of the history of God's people, the book of Numbers is happening in a moment that comes after the events of the Exodus. And if you're wondering where you might have seen the events of the Exodus, if you ever saw anything that depicts the Ten Commandments or the Prince of Egypt, after that. And if you know anything about King David, before that. So somewhere in between those two is the book of Numbers. The people had spent centuries in slavery. And under slavery, they had been spoken about and spoken to in ways that were destructive. It was a horrible atmosphere. And God has freed them from that. And part of what's going on after that freeing, that exodus from Egypt, is that God is building into them what it means to be free people. What it looks like to live as free people and among free people. What it looks like to live as free people who are connected to God. And blessings become one of the cornerstones of what it means to be a free people. He gives them this blessing in this moment. These instructions are being given to the priests. They are being given to the people who've been designated as priests in the community. And it is believed that they would have said this blessing every time someone came to engage in some form of religious activity. They would either, in coming or in going, have this blessing spoken over them. And so it creates the sense that anytime you are engaging with God, anytime they are engaging with the God that freed them from slavery, they are receiving good spoken over them. Every time they do anything to connect with that God, a good word is spoken over them. Good wishes are spoken over them. God's name is spoken over them. And so it starts to build in this idea that the God that freed them, the God that is connecting to them, the God that they are in relationship with, is a God that wants good for them. And I know that feels like something logical right now. It's only logical because things like this happened. In the ancient world, it would not have been logical that the God you were following would have always wanted something good for you. The gods were fickle. The gods were sometimes unpredictable. The idea now that we feel it would be normal for a God to want good is because these kinds of things were built into a community. To expect that any time you sought out God, any time you connected with God, any time you engaged in an act of worship to God, good was spoken over you. It's because of this. Blessing is an essential part of how God defines his relationship to his people, and blessing is an essential part of how God defines his relationship to us. And that's been true from the very beginning, right in the first pages of the scriptures. It tells us that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And look what the first thing that God does after he's created them is. God blesses them. God blesses them. The first thing that God does is bless the people he made. Is speak his good desires for the people he made. In that, God is not just setting the standard for the dynamic of his relationship to us. God is also modeling something for how we are relate to one another and to our world. Note that also highlighted in the passage, this idea that we are made in the image of God. We are made to reflect God. We are made to image God. When we bless, we are conveying a sense of our, if you allow me some liberty with language, a sense of our imagedness. We are acting as image bearers when we bless, because we are doing as God has done when he has gotten in touch with humanity. We are blessing. This is why God tells his priests to do this. Now you might say, okay, well, blessing is for priests, according to this passage. I hear you. But before we go down that route to say, well, blessing is only for priests or pastors or religious people, here's how the New Testament talks about the community of followers of Jesus. It's talking broadly. You are a chosen people, a royal what? Priesthood. Priesthood. Right from the origins of the church, there is this sense that some of the ways in which people distinguished themselves from people in the religious class were no longer viable. And I believe blessing is one of those ways. Blessing is one of those ways. The New Testament conveys that in some sense, some of these aspects like blessing were not exclusive to the religious class. They were not exclusive to the authorities in the religious sphere. They were available, accessible, and belonged to all of us. In other words, friends, we have been made, we have been called, and we have been commissioned to bless. Blessing is part of how we are to operate. It is part of our DNA. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you start engaging in blessing, you will only discover more and more how much this is woven into how we were made to be. I'll tell you one way that I see this all the time. Whenever I am officiating a wedding, I engage in a process of blessing. It'll either happen at the rehearsal dinner or at the wedding itself. And, you know, I officiate weddings where people are all over the place. The people who are there all over the place in terms of their faith. Some of the people there have faith and are following Jesus, and some of the people there have no faith and are not following Jesus. But every time what I do is I invite everyone to bless the couple, whether it's at the rehearsal or whether it's at the ceremony itself, and I tell them, blessing is, I want you to take all the things, the good things that you want for this couple, and I want you to extend your hands as if you are sort of imparting that on them. And I say, and I am going to ask God to make all the good things come to pass for this couple. Now, this is a sort, you know, the right crowd to do that, and all these people, hopefully, want good things for the couple. There's never been a time when someone says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe in that hocus pocus. It's almost like something taps into them, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is something that we're supposed to do. Everyone extends their hands, and time after time, it's been the people most far from God who have come to me and said, that was a really meaningful experience. Thank you for asking me to do that. See, we're tapping into something of how they were imaged, how they were made to be, what they were made to do, how they were made to operate. We have been made, called, and commissioned to bless. And if you start engaging in this, it'll be like a snowball effect. It'll just grow and grow and grow in you. I want to reread the blessing from Numbers again. I'm going to highlight a few things about it, and then I'm going to talk a bit about how we might engage in blessing people and changing the atmosphere and blessing situations and in blessing places in the coming week. So let me reread the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name, the Lord speaking, on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Each blessing, if you take them as sentences, each blessing statement starts with the Lord. Starts with the Lord. This particular formulation of God's name is the same in all three instances. It is the name of God that is meant to evoke in his people a reminder of the covenant they have with him. This would be what's called some places the covenant name of God. It is the name that whenever it's used, it's meant to invoke a sense of God's promises to his people, God's work for his people, and God's commitment to his people. God's blessing for his people, therefore, flows out of God's commitment and relationship to his people. Blessing flows out of connection to God. Blessing flows out of connection to God. That's why at the end he says, you will put my name. They will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. It's almost like saying, stamp them as mine and they will receive my blessing. Call them mine. Call them to me and they will receive my blessing. They are mine, and they will receive my blessing. So as you think about going to places or to people or in situations and bringing blessing,
one of the first things you can do is bless that they would be the Lord's. If they are the Lord's already, if they are following God already, then pray that that would be affirmed, that the Lord's name has been put on this person's life. Bless them. And if they are not, bless them with a growing knowledge, a growing understanding, a growing sense of the fact that they have been made by God, that they are loved by God, that they have been rescued by God, that they might come to God and receive his blessing, that God would make himself known to them, and that they would know that they belong to him and that he loves them. When you're thinking about places, bless them by claiming them for the Lord, because there is not a single square inch of our reality, of our universe, of our galaxy, as far as the mind can comprehend, that the Lord doesn't say, this is mine. I have made this and I am Lord over it. If you think about blessing situations, if you're in a situation you want to invoke the name of the Lord, speak of how God holds everything in his hands. Nothing happens. No situation is out of his control. No situation is out of his watch. Pray and invoke that over every situation to bless it. Anchored in people connecting to God, these blessings flow. Let me summarize some of what is being conveyed by the text. Part of what the blessing is conveying is that God would guard and protect his people. Part of what is being conveyed in this blessing is that God would be present with his people in such a way that they would feel it, that they would feel like he's attending to them, that his eyes are on them, that his face is upon them, that he is acknowledging their concerns and tending to them. Part of what the prayer is blessing people with or calling people for is that people would have a sense that God is for them, that God is on their side, that God is fighting for them. And then right at the end, there's this word of blessing for peace. Now, the word there in Hebrew is the word shalom, and it's meant to convey far more than sereneness and far more than simply a lack of conflict or turmoil. The word shalom encapsulates all of that, but also a sense of ongoing well-being. You might even go so far as saying a sense of happiness, a sense of being at that kind of peace. All of that is contained in this prayer, and all of that is accessible to us to receive and for us to impart as we bless, as we call forth blessing. All of that is available. Maybe today, as you hear that list of things, maybe today the call isn't just for you to bless people with those things. Perhaps you're hearing those things and you're saying, oh man, I really want some of that. Or some of that is missing in my life right now. You can receive that blessing today. Where do you need it? Where do you need it? I'm not going to pray through all of it, but identify where you need it right now. And I'm just going to quickly pray a prayer of blessing for those things. So take a moment, give you 5 seconds, and I'm just going to pray a blessing. May the Lord, whose name is upon you, bless you with that which he has for you, you need, and are asking for. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to move on from the prayer without highlighting one thing. The Lord bless you. That's how the prayer starts. Now, it would be easy to read that as a preamble and gloss over it, but I don't want us to do that because this isn't a preamble. The Lord bless you is actually a powerful prayer. It's easy to read past it. It's easy to gloss over it. It's easy to think it's just filler language to get to the rest of the stuff. And some of that is because we use the word blessing in so many different ways in our context, don't you? Don't we? We use blessing when people sneeze. And particularly, we hashtag it. And particularly here in the South, we bless people's hearts. I discovered this phrase when I moved to North Carolina just over 6 years ago. And I was amazed at how versatile this phrase is. How many definitions can you identify for the phrase, bless your heart? Okay, who can identify at least one? All of us, right? Who can do two? 4. I quit at 3. I quit at 3. Right? It can be a sincere expression of sympathy or genuine concern. It can be a preamble to an insult to soften the blow. And it's also used to sometimes mean you're just dumb. Or don't know any better, and you can't help it. So bless your heart. Now, I'm not going to advocate that we abolish bless your heart. But I might be helpful for some of us to consider being a little bit more caring in how we use it and when we deploy it. Rather, what I'd like to call us to is to actually sit a little bit more with the weight of the word blessing. And the weight of a phrase like the Lord bless you. Because it is a powerful phrase. There is a lot behind that word bless. When we pray the Lord bless you consciously and wholeheartedly, what we're doing is we're asking for God's good words to be spoken over people, places, and situations. All that good that God has to say into something, over something, or into or over someone, that's what we're asking for when we say, the Lord bless you. We are asking that God's good will and God's desires become a reality. There is a lot of power in that. There is a lot of power in the Lord bless you and so much goodness. Friend, I said from the beginning that I'm going to ask you to go out and bless people. Some of you are already anxious about that. So let me say, if this is the only prayer of blessing you pray for the rest of your life, the Lord bless you, if all you do from now on is say, the Lord bless you, or when you're praying, Lord, bless so-and-so, bless my sister, or Lord, bless this place, or Lord, bless this situation, if that's all you do, you are doing a lot. If you do it wholeheartedly, if you do it with some sense of the weightiness of that word, you are invoking quite a bit. You will be praying powerful prayers. Remember, blessing is speaking the goodwill and desires of God for our world and its people into or over anything and anyone in any situation. And when we do that, it can't help but change the atmosphere for the better. I told you earlier what the invitation was. It's to pray prayers of blessing. So here are some thoughts about how we might do that this week. First is we might pray blessings for people. This means sort of in your own prayer time or in your own instances where you pray. You might pray, Lord, bless so-and-so. In fact, one of the ways we're going to help you is we have printed out 4 examples of blessing prayers that you can pray. You can pick them up on your way out. One of them is a paraphrasing of the Numbers prayer, the prayer that we read. So you can pray these 4 people. These have blessing prayers for people, blessing prayers for workplaces, blessing prayers for relationships, and blessing prayers for a home or other space. You can take this and just pray for people, for places, for situations. You can come up with your own prayer. You can pray just the Lord bless. One of the invitations is going to be to pray blessings for people, places, and situations. For some of us, the invitation is to pray or speak blessing over people. What do I mean by that? That means you actually interact with someone and either say, can I pray a blessing for you? Or you speak goodness to them. You say something like, I know God has love for you. You are beloved by God. That is something you speak to, but it is a blessing you are speaking over them. When applicable, act in support of that blessing. There's a classic passage in Scripture that talks about don't tell someone, be well fed and warm, right? Be full and be warm and then walk away if you can feed them or clothe them. Consider that sometimes God will place burden in our heart or make us aware of ways people need blessing because he wants to use us to enact that blessing. So when it's applicable, act in alignment with the blessing that you long to see or the blessing that you pray. It's not always ours to make the blessings come to pass. It's not always ours. But when it is, don't act in disagreement with that. Because if you have the ability and the calling and the opportunity to make a blessing come to pass for someone and you withhold it, then you didn't really want the blessing for them. So when applicable, Act in alignment. Act in alignment. Let's practice that right now. I'm going to give you a moment to bless. So I want you to think of someone or a place or a situation that you want to bless. Think of it. Think of how you might want to bless them. And I'm going to give you 10 seconds to pray a quick prayer of blessing for them. I've got a timer here. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think of the person. I'll tell you when those 5 seconds are up. And then I'm going to give us 10 seconds to pray the blessing. And then I will say amen to note the finish. All right, so here's the 5 seconds. And pray. Amen. All right, now I'm going to make us a little bit uncomfortable. I want you to bless someone in this room. If you want to be courageous, it's just step out a little bit more. Pray for someone you don't know. You pray for someone you do know. And again, it doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. It can be as simple as the Lord bless you. And pray that with a desire that God's goodness be enacted in that person. So I'm going to give you 20 seconds. You don't have to, you can ask name if you want, but you don't have to ask for story. Just pray something good for them. Bless them with something good. Say, I bless you with this. The Lord bless you with this. Whatever it is. Don't move around. Just the side and front. Give you 20 seconds. Go. If you're a straggler, go ahead and join someone. Amen. 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 I love the laughter. I love the giggles because it is good. It is good to receive and to know that someone is asking God to bestow his goodness upon you. And it is good to feel like you have something to offer in that as well. Folks, it's already changed the atmosphere here. It will change the atmosphere in our relationships, in our schools, in our places of work, in our situations, in our homes, wherever we happen to find ourselves in. All we need to do is go and bless. Let me pray for us. God, you've given us something accessible, simple, and powerful. Thank you for that. Because so much of life is neither accessible nor simple if it's going to be fruitful. But this is so fruitful. God, make us the kind of people that when people talk about us or when people see us, when situations arise, we're thought of because we're the kind of people who speak out goodness, who long for goodness, and who act for goodness. Lord, that when people are in need, they would say, I want to talk to that person because they can see good and call it out, and it comes to pass. May it be so for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're able, would you stand and respond in worship?